Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
All right, in our first session on this miracle, we saw Jesus drag this situation out and extend it out because he was dealing with a problem much bigger than the demon. He wanted to expose the Father's unbelief and build his faith, and it works. It works. At the end, the Father is begging Jesus, help my unbelief, and he sees the problem, and he's asking, he's going to the right source for the solution. Give me faith. So that works. Then Jesus leaves and goes into a house alone with his disciples. Now he's going to work on building their faith. And that's what we're going to look at today. Verse 28, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. Now, very often commentators will study this story and they'll say that the disciples, the problem was, they just hadn't been praying. They just had become lax in their prayer life and they weren't doing their devotions, skipping their time with the Lord. And so they lost their power over demons that they used to have. That's not what Jesus says. He's very clear. The inability here was due to the kind of demon that we were talking about. It was a certain kind of demon, and that was the problem. The word kind, it's genos. We get our word genus from it, species. They couldn't drive this demon out because it was a species of demon that they hadn't been given power over. They hadn't been given authority over that kind of demon. Now, most demons were under their authority. Mark 3:14, he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And then again in chapter 6, verse 7, calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. So this is a power that the disciples had. We've all been given different abilities. We all have different powers. God gave LeBron James the power to dunk a basketball. He doesn't have to pray first. He doesn't have to seek God or any divine intervention. He can just dunk a basketball. He just decides to jump and he goes up and boom. He can do it. For me, that can only happen through prayer and major divine intervention. If you come to me with a cut, I have the power to put a Band-Aid on it. I don't have to pray. I can do that. I just have that power. You come to me with a corpse, and all I can do is pray. I don't have the power to raise the dead. All I can do is ask God to do it. God has given me the power to do one, but not the other. I can put on Band-Aids. I can't raise the dead. If a friend is sick in the hospital, I have the power to drive to the hospital, read him some psalms, pray with him, even without any divine any special divine intervention, I can do. God has given me that power. But if my friend has terminal cancer, that's out of my power. All I can do is pray and ask God to step in. For the disciples, driving out demons was like me putting on a Band-Aid or LeBron dunking a basketball. They just had that ability. They had that power. They could do it at will. They possessed it. Remember the beggar in Acts 3 comes to Peter and John and he wanted money, and in Acts 3:6 Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or Jesus of Nazareth, walk. So Peter didn't have money, but he did have the ability to just command us, just at will, heal this guy's legs. He could do that miraculous thing. He couldn't just decide to miraculously have money. If he wanted to suddenly have money, he would have to pray and ask. But this, he could just choose to do it. It's something he said he had. So all that to say that the majority of demons had to obey the disciples. They had the power. Jesus gave them that authority. He gave them that power. But there are some special demons. There are some big shot demons, maybe some of the powers and authorities of the heavenly, maybe some of Satan's big generals. We don't know what, but whatever it was, this was one of those kind of demons, and they didn't fall into that category that Jesus had given the disciples power over. So for this kind of demon, those disciples had to do the same thing you and I would have to do with any demon, and that is pray, right? Just ask God to do a miraculous healing. Just like any other miraculous healing. We just have to pray for it. So Jesus doesn't fault them for... I don't think Jesus faults them for not having the power over this demon. He never gave them the power. He faults them for how they responded when they ran into a problem that went beyond the power that they had been given. You see, just because you have run up against an immovable obstacle that is far beyond your power to do anything about doesn't mean you have to fail. Just because you've run into an immovable obstacle doesn't mean you have to fail. What do you do when you run into an impossible situation? Pray hard and trust God. That's what the disciples failed to do. We know that it's both prayer and trust, because Jesus rebuked, when he rebuked them for their unbelief. Oh, unbelieving generation. And then later on he says, you failed to pray. So it's both. Oh, unbelieving generation, this kind only comes out by prayer. Put those two together and you find it's the prayer of faith that they needed. In fact, in Matthew's account, we find out that Jesus mentioned faith in the house as well. Because in Matthew 17:19, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. So Mark says, it's because you didn't pray. And Matthew says, it's because you didn't have faith. So those two are interchangeable here. Why? Because prayer is the reflex of faith. You can tell someone doesn't have faith if they don't pray. Prayer is what you do when you're really depending on God. If you're really living a life of depending on God, then you will pray. Prayerlessness is what you do when you're depending on yourself or something else. Unbelief has a million faces, and we see no less than four of them in this passage. Four different kinds of unbelief. There's the scribes with their hardened, determined, irrational refusal to believe, regardless of the evidence, because of the sheer hatred for Christ. There's the crowd with their typical gawking amazement, but never actually deciding to follow Christ. Those two kinds of unbelief are kind of in the background in the passage. They're not. The real focus is on the other two kinds, the unbelief of the boy's father and the unbelief of the disciples. The boy's father doubts Jesus' ability to do the miracles. We talked about that last time. He says, if you can do anything, then help me. For people like him, prayer is like crossing your fingers. You know, it's like, oh, I hope this works. People like that, with that kind of unbelief, they'll pray, but there's no sense of actually tapping in to divine power with their prayer. It's just more like knock on wood, I hope this works. There's no real power there, but it can't hurt. You know, it's worth it. That's kind of how prayer is for those kind of people. And that's just sheer unbelief. And then there's the disciples' unbelief. The disciples knew Jesus had power. But when the normal methods didn't work, it didn't occur to them to seek God because they were just used to being able to do that. At first, we might be a little surprised when we hear that they didn't even pray. What? Oh, what in the world? Why wouldn't they pray? But remember, this is a power they normally had. How often do you pray about something you can just normally do anytime you want? You can do it in your sleep. It's easy for you. If you can make a pan, you can bake a pan of brownies in your sleep, and you just always do it. Are you going to pray before you start making your next batch? Probably not. It's just, that's what casting out demons was like for these guys. And it's in those areas where God has given you a power, He's given you an ability, where we tend to drift into a sense of self-dependence. We just don't have a sense of neediness or dependence in that area because it just feels like we have the power within ourselves. And so we don't pray. When you had your first child, if you're a parent, you were praying so hard. It's like, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so inadequate. Please help me. Then after you've been a parent for several years, you start getting the hang of it. And what happens to the intensity of your prayers? It kind of goes down, doesn't it? You don't feel the same desperate dependence anymore, and so you don't pray as hard. You know, I think of Samson. Why on earth did Samson tell Delilah about the hair thing when he was obvious what she was doing? He knew for a fact as soon as he went to sleep, she was going to cut off his hair and the Philistines are going to be right in his room. Why? I think it's because he'd been strong his whole life. He'd never lost a fight. He didn't know what it was like to lose a fight. And I think, I'm convinced what Samson was thinking was, you know what? I know as soon as I go to sleep, she's going to cut off my hair and the Philistines are going to be here. Fine, bring them on. I'll kick the snot out of them, hair or no hair. I'm a big guy. I've been in a lot of tough scrapes. I can handle myself. It's not going to be a problem. He felt like he could just do it. This is just what happens to us when we have ability that God has given us and we can always do it at will. We lose our sense of dependence, desperate dependence on God in that area because it comes so easy. It's one reason why it's so important that God once in a while allows us to have failures in those areas where we're normally strong. You know, I can't cook a plate of brownies, I can't dunk a basketball, but I can. I have all kinds of training on how to prepare a sermon. That I can do. I know how to check the boxes and go through and do the procedure and put a sermon together, but once in a while, God allows me to run across a passage of Scripture. It's one of those sermons that no matter how much I study, no matter how much I work, it will not come together. It's like it's locked inside the text, and God is saying, this kind only comes out by prayer. There's the only way you're going to get it out. So maybe you're the one who can cook something and you know without any trouble. Or you, but every once in a while, you find yourself staring at a plate of bricks saying, okay, I guess this kind only comes out by prayer. We need to be reminded once in a while of where the power comes from, including in those areas where God has gifted you and empowered you to do it most of the time. But if we don't have a sense of dependence on God, we're not trusting in Him, then what happens when things go wrong in that area? We don't turn to God. We just turn against one another and we start fighting. Our first impulse is to find someone to blame or circumstances to blame. Our reflex isn't prayer. It's something else. It's anger. It's panic. It's blaming someone or self-condemnation, depression, discouragement, anything but trusting God and turning to Him in prayer. If we do manage to look inward instead of blaming someone else, we'll so often locate the problem with lack of skill, lack of giftedness, lack of experience and knowledge. We'll blame it on our temperament, our mood. But how often do we just diagnose the problem by saying, you know what, I failed to trust God? Do we ever do that? And yet, how often does Scripture do that? That's so often. That's all it is. It's just didn't trust God. Just didn't trust God enough. I didn't have a strong enough sense of depending on Him. And it was obvious in my prayer life. Now, it's possible that you, when you failed, it was because of something else. Maybe you didn't have enough skill and you needed to work and read a book or whatever. Maybe we do need to increase our knowledge or whatever. But probably, more often than we realize, it's simply a matter of not having enough dependence on God, not enough prayer, not enough faith. The boy's father in this story thought too little of Jesus' power. The disciples, that wasn't their problem. Their problem was they thought too much of their own power. They knew Jesus had power, but they weren't depending on that because they had an attitude of self-dependence. It's like you're driving down the road just fine, and then, oops, you're in a ditch. You crashed, and so you're just like in the ditch, and like, God, little help, and then now you're back on the road, and like, okay, thanks, God, I got it from here, and you keep on trucking. God is like a winch that you keep on your bumper for times when you need to make a recovery, but once you're back on the road, you don't feel the need for that winch. You're fine. That's what self-dependence is like. And when that happens, it leads exactly what it led to here, ministry failure, which is a serious problem. Ministry failure damages people's faith, just like this boy's father. This boy's father had faith. He said, he's like, I'm going to bring my son to Jesus. He can do it. And then when the disciples failed, he loses his faith, and then he doubts Jesus. That's what happens. Ministry failure tends to cause people to doubt God. That's a big deal when we fail in ministry. The stakes are absolutely massive. Eternal consequences, both negative and positive, are at stake when we undertake a ministry and fail, or we undertake a ministry and succeed. Huge consequences either way, good or bad. Even if you're not involved in any specific official ministry at church, still there's going to be those times when somebody's going to just bring their son to you and say, can you help? Right? And you don't want Jesus to be grieved when he finds out that somebody came to you for help and ended up saying, oh, I asked your disciple to help, but he couldn't. Like here. And Jesus has to say, oh, unbelieving generation, when he looks at us. It's so important that we're constantly working on increasing our faith, building and growing our faith. And if you want to know how to do that, go back to the first podcast in this series titled From Amazement to Faith and learn how to turn your amazement into greater faith. And that's just one of the ways. There's multiple ways. Suffering trials and letting the process go on until it builds perseverance and maturity, like James 1 says. We could do a whole sermon series on ways to build your faith. My purpose here isn't to talk about that. The purpose here is just to awaken us to how important it is that we not fail in ministry because of weak or small faith or self-dependence. So why not take a few minutes right now to just cry out to God to strengthen your faith. Ask Him, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Give me greater faith no matter what the cost. And I hope you can tune in again tomorrow for the podcast. It'll be the final session on this passage, Satan versus Jesus. Side-by-side comparison of Satan and Jesus. Really encouraging study. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to hear the full-length version of today's message, you can find that on treasuringgod.com or just get our free Food for Your Soul sermon app. And if you find this podcast helpful, you can help other people find it by sharing a link on social media, giving us a rating or review on iTunes, or, best of all, tell a friend about us. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God.